From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Losses Overcome. The text is found in Joel, chapter 2, verse 25. And I will restore to you the years that the locust have eaten. Yes, those wasted years over which we sigh shall be restored to us. God can give us such plentiful grace that we shall crowd into the remainder of our days as much of service as will be some recompense for those years of unregeneracy over which we mourn in humble penitence. The locusts of backsliding, worldliness, lukewarmness, are now viewed by us as a terrible plague. Oh, that they had never come near us! The Lord in mercy has now taken them away, and we are full of zeal to serve Him. Blessed be His name! We can raise such harvests of spiritual graces as shall make our former barrenness to disappear. Through rich grace we can turn to account our bitter experience and use it to warn others. We can become the more rooted in humility, childlike dependence, and penitent spirituality by reason of our former shortcomings. If we are the more watchful, zealous, and tender, we shall gain by our lamentable losses. The wasted years, by a miracle of love, can be restored. Does it seem too great a boon? Let us believe for it and live for it, and we may yet realize it, even as Peter became all the more useful a man after his presumption was cured by his discovered weakness. Lord, aid us by thy grace.
Sometimes a life surprises a Christian while he sees. It is the Lord who rises.
Thank you.
An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. If you're looking for some guidance in the study of God's Word, we're happy to offer a very helpful but brief brochure entitled, 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Prepared by several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, it will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish to call us, you may phone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. As he continues this series of studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message entitled, Judgment According to Truth. The text is Romans 2 and verse 2, which says, But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. In the course of the message, Dr. Cairns has been explaining the development of this truth about judgment. God is holy, and he must and will judge sin. God's judgment is based upon the true state of men's hearts. It is according to God's justice. God's word is the authority for the judgment, a judgment which is infallible and final. There will be no appeal. Now to conclude this message, Judgment According to Truth, here is Dr. Cairns.
The last thing in the world I want is the justice of God. For if God deals with me in raw justice, then I will be irretrievably and eternally damned. But I thank God I can come to the cross and I can see the justice of God there in operation. I can see God heap my sin on Jesus. And then pour out the wrath of God upon him as the bearer of my sin. And only when Christ had extinguished all the fury of the wrath of God against my sin, only then could God pardon my iniquity. Oh, I want his justice. But I want his justice as borne by Jesus Christ. Otherwise, the judgment of God will be according to perfect equity, according to perfect justice. And remember, when you're judged by that standard, remember what Jesus said. It'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for some of you. It's an awful statement. That's an awful statement. Sodom? You realize what he's saying? Sodom? A cesspool of iniquity? The men of Sodom, such vile perverts, that they paraded their wickedness and were willing to batter down the door to Lot's house to commit their perversions. How deep will hell be for the men of Sodom? Yet Jesus looks at people who have never committed the sins of Sodom as such. And he said, when you meet God, it would be better for you to have been born and to have lived and to have died in Sodom. Have been born and lived and died in Greenville as a despiser and a hater and a rejecter of the gospel of his dear son. The gospel is so important because apart from it, you'll have the judgment of God in truth. That is perfect equity. Truth, of course, has the third meaning of authority. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." This opens a vast area that I haven't time to explore tonight, that the standard and the basis of God's judicial sentence is his own word. What will the judgment of God be like? What will it be like? Well, I cannot answer that in perfect detail, but I can answer it broadly and say that it will be everything that the Bible says it is. That's what the judgment of God will be. It will fulfill all the predictions of the Bible. It will fulfill all the threatenings of the Bible. It will fulfill all the descriptions that the Bible gives us. Now you think of what the Bible says about the judgment of God. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die. But after this, the judgment. Now, as we find in chapter 1, the judgment of God may follow men in this life. But never you buy in to the lie that the devil has spread abroad, that the only hell there is the hell that men make out of this world. Don't you believe that? Where is the judgment of God? The judgment of God, the final judicial verdict, is right at the end of a Christ rejecter's life. We must die. Now, you can disagree with this great statement if you're foolish enough to will to do so. It doesn't change it. You're going to die. Death is already working in your body. The only thing that stops death from taking its full effect on every single one of us at this moment is that God, the very Christ whom some of you live in defiance of, is holding you in existence. It's the only reason we're here. Death is working in us. And if God just closes his hand, you'll be dead before the night's out. Can you do anything about that? You can deny it. You can laugh it off. You can whistle in the dark. You can pretend it's not true. But all that is abject folly. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, after this, the judgment. Jesus said, fear not them which can kill the body. And after that they have no more that they can do unto you. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him who after he has killed has power to cast into hell. I say unto you, fear him. Paul, as he was preaching in Athens, said, God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by Jesus Christ. So at the end of every Christ rejecter's life, there's a meeting with God. There's a meeting, an appointed day when the whole world will be gathered to judgment. How does the Bible define and describe such an event? In Hebrews 10:31, it says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Think of that. Now that's a text that is such a big text, I'm afraid even to make any comment on it, for I'm likely to go too far. But I think of the hands of God. The hands of the God-man. Those hands hurl the worlds into space. Those hands uphold everything that is in being. Those hands are the hands that broke the bread and fed the 5,000. Those hands are the hands that were nailed to the cross. For a poor, guilty, hell-deserving sinner to fall into the almighty hands of God, it's a fearful thing. Why? Because, as Paul goes on to say in Hebrews 12, our God is a consuming fire. I want you to think of this. The book of Ecclesiastes comes to its conclusion by telling us that God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Now, this is the judgment of God. He's going to judge the secrets of man's heart by Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. There's not a man or a woman here that hasn't in his heart the secret that would make him blush if man but knew the half of it. There's not one of us can be honest with ourselves and even look ourselves fully in the mirror in the morning. We have got somehow to evade the full viciousness and wickedness of our own evil hearts. But when God comes to judgment, it's a judgment according to truth. And he will judge, the Bible says, the secrets of men's hearts. Paul told the Corinthians that he will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, make manifest the counsels of the heart. For as Jesus taught, there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. The secrets. But not only the secrets, but the words. Do you ever think of this? Jesus said, every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word. We blew off steam, we say. We just get it off our chest. We live in a day and generation when the theory is just let it all out. But I want you to remember, there's not a thought that has ever been in your mind. There's never a purpose that's ever been in your heart. There's not a word that has ever escaped your lips. But that God says, I know it all, and I will judge it in truth. This is the authority. Truth not only means authority, it means infallibility. Some translations say he will rightly judge. I think that's very poor translation, by the way, but nonetheless it captures a part of the truth. When it says he will judge in truth, they say he rightly or justly judges. It's part of the truth of what Paul is saying. There's no error in the judgment of God. No mistakes made. And there's no appeal from it. And there's no overturning of it. It is an infallible judgment according to truth. And of course, truth means finality. The judicial decision is a verdict, and the verdict is final. Remember what the Lord Jesus said? The question he asked, that's very often misinterpreted. Mark 8:36 asks the question, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Verse 37 asks the question, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I want you to listen very carefully. Preachers have preached some wonderful messages on that. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What are you giving in exchange for your soul? Are you selling your soul for drugs? Are you selling your soul for drink? Are you selling your soul for pleasure? Are you selling your soul for men? Are you selling your soul for this and that? All those are very valuable questions to ask, but they're not questions that Jesus asked. He's talking about a man who has lost his soul. A man who has suffered the final verdict, depart from me, ye cursed. And he asks, now that you have finally lost your soul, what will you give to buy it back? What will you give to rescue it from an everlasting hell? What will you give to reverse the verdict of the judge? You'll notice that there is no answer to the question, because the judgment is final. As we come to a close tonight, I want you to understand that for sinners, whether Jews or Gentiles, judgment according to truth is a terrible prospect. It leaves no hiding place. It cuts off all hope. I hope tonight, this is where I would wish I had the tongue of an angel, but I hope tonight that something of the awfulness, of the solemnity, of God judging the secrets and the motives, and the very words, God holding you responsible for every motion of your body or soul. I hope that has got through, because I want you to realize it cuts off all hope and every hiding place except one. And that's what this whole epistle is about. This is why Paul is doing all this in this passage. The judgment of God is true, it's inevitable for all who meet God, whether Jews or Gentiles, on any other ground other than the gospel of Christ, in which the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just by faith shall live. You see what he's saying? I don't want to repeat myself too much in these studies, but you've got to keep the whole picture in mind. Paul is saying in chapter 1, verse 16, the gospel is the power of God for salvation. In the gospel, God has revealed the way where he can count you righteous and give you a final verdict, justified, accepted, pardoned, and received. That's the final verdict, and it's a verdict that God has already passed upon all who believe in Jesus Christ. But he's saying, apart from that, the wrath of God is revealed against the Gentiles, and the wrath of God is revealed against the Jews. The judicial decision of God on Christ's rejecters is true, and it is final, condemned eternally. But the judicial decision on believers is equally true and equally final, and that is justified freely. What's the difference between heaven and hell? You can't measure it in miles. The difference between heaven and hell is Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.